This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. This is the Buffalo Sabres postgame show from our flagship station in Buffalo. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Changes coming off the bench. Kulikov for Schmidt walking in with a shot. Save made by Lucan. It's behind him and Greer with the tap in to give Florida the 1-0 lead.
That goal, 7:20 into the game, was all Florida would need. Buffalo never scored. That goal from A.J. Greer, 7:20 of the first, gave Florida a 1-0 lead, and that is your game winner. Goal of the game, brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. As we welcome you here into the postgame, Brian Colziel with you. Sabres fall 4-0. Josh Norris makes his debut. Not much of an impact overall. In fact, well, not much of an impact for anybody offensively. The Sabres fail to score on Vitek Vanacek, and they are now winless in 6 games. We're going to be heading into the room to get locker room reaction here within the next few seconds, so stick with us here on the postgame. Buffalo now will come home and face Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers on Monday at 7 o'clock. Here is Alex Tuck up first, live in Florida with Paul Hamilton.
Alex, you guys didn't seem to get into much of a flow in that game. How did you see that game?
It was a little bit too sporadic, I'd say. Not enough sustained momentum and sustained pressure, especially in the O zone. I think we were playing a little bit too perimeter at times. Other times we were getting in the net, we got some good opportunities, and we weren't able to capitalize. They're a very patient team. They're a very good team, and we were the first to crack there and allow them to get a goal.
How tough is that with the way they play and as patient as they are? They're just waiting for you guys or any opponent really to make a mistake. Just how difficult a style is that to go against?
That's the reason why they're defending Stanley Cup champions. Everyone buys in. Everyone plays the same way. They play the system to a T. And when they get good goaltending on top of it, it's really hard to beat them. We weren't able to... like I said, get inside them enough and get those opportunities. And when we did get those opportunities, we weren't able to capitalize. I had a couple posts, and I got to put those in the net. And I know we had a couple good opportunities in the power play and a couple good odd man rushes that we have to capitalize on.
You started the game with Norris. What did you think of him, your first chance to play with him?
Yeah, really good skater, really smart player. I think he's got a really high ceiling, and he's got a really, really unique and exciting skill set that he brings to the table. I thought he was working really hard out there too. So coming to a new team, it's always going to be tough no matter what. Playing in a new system, playing with new guys, takes a second for you to acclimate it. And I think he's got he's going to have a really bright future here, and it's going to be really exciting to see.
What has the last couple of days been like for you guys as a group, just dealing with the deadline, swapping out a really big piece of your group in bringing in Josh?
Yeah. It's tough, honestly. Like I said, I think we got an unbelievable player, and I've heard nothing but unbelievable things about him as a person and as a teammate, and so I'm really excited to have Josh here with us. On the flip side, losing Kazi sucks. It really does. Honestly, I see him as like a little brother to me, and it was really hard. And then Dennis Gilbert, I mean, we grew up playing against each other. I've known Gibby since we were 6 years old. Even before he was on the Sabres, I'd skate with him in Buffalo, and even back when Matt Ellis was running his skates in the summertime at the Harbor Center, we were skating together. So those are two guys that I'm really going to miss. And then Yoki, obviously, has been here for a couple of years, and he's awesome. He's a lot of fun to be around. He's got a big personality, and he'll be missed as well. So all three of those guys, I wish them the best of luck. And hopefully one day we cross paths in the future as well. Love to have them back, all back here on the Sabres one day. But, yeah, it's tough. Trade deadlines, it's you realize how much of a business it is. You realize the difference between having a work buddy and having a teammate. That's for sure.
How much of a jolt was it to the room, just given where you guys are in the standings? Like you said, it reminds you how much of a business it is, but for this group in particular to see a guy like that leave?
Like I said, it sucks. Yeah, the reason why those guys are gone is because of the rest of us sitting in here. We weren't good enough this year. I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I wasn't good enough to help them stay and help us be successful, and so it sucks. It was just plain and simple. But now we have to move on, and we have to get ready and get better for the future. We have to be the best that we can be for these last 20 games, no matter what happens going forward. We have to be the best individually and as a team.
Is it a relief to have the deadline behind you? I'm sure it was kind of weighing on you guys, you know, leading in, not knowing what would happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a little different when we get home, too. It's going to sink in a little bit, too, especially that first morning, I think. But, yeah, no, it'll be good to put it behind us. Obviously, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of names out there, myself included. So where you see your texts and people chatting about it and everything. So, I mean, pretty much everyone's name is out there at some point or another. So, yeah, I mean, now you just get to focus on playing hockey. Everyone's here. Everyone's staying. And we got to be better.
Thanks, Alex. Alex Tuck on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
It's got to be stressful for these guys. They're professionals. They're paid very well. Most of them are. And, you know, you've got friends that just gone the next day. More on that in a moment. Here's now, go back to the room. Matias Samuelson with Paul.
The team in the last day or two, I mean, how difficult was this game just to, for this group in general to focus? And how much do you have to kind of refocus here for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I think you know, losing Cuz and Gibby there—they're obviously a big part of the team and big part of the room. And yeah, sucks losing them. That's what happens when you don't win hockey games. So kind of put it on ourselves for that one. But obviously, really excited to get Josh. And you know, I think just for the rest of the season, you know, we're still. Still a lot of pride, still a lot of things to prove, and I mean, it's definitely not time to just roll over anything. You know, I think everyone in this room still has a lot to prove for themselves and as a team. So, yeah, just keep coming to work every day and compete and you know, work hard.
You knew Josh a little from when you were younger, didn't you?
Yeah, he was an 18 and I was a 17 at the program. Played with him at World Juniors. Unreal guy. Yeah, it's probably nice for him too, having some of a familiar face, but yeah, we knew each other.
What can you say about him just as a player in terms of what you guys are getting?
Really good skater, really smooth, 200-foot player, can score, can shoot it. Yeah, just all around 200-foot, 200-foot guy, plays in all situations, leader. Yeah, all of it.
What was the difference in this game, do you feel? It didn't look like as a team you guys had all that much. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good hockey team on the other side. They obviously had their chances. You know, I think we had some chances too, breakaways, 2-on-1s, 3-on-1, stuff like that. And, you know, you bury a couple of those chances, it's a different ball game. But obviously we didn't. But, yeah, I think... you know, capitalize on those chances, a different game, but obviously we didn't do that, so yeah, it looks pretty bad. They took it to us.
Yeah, that's over. Do you kind of feel like relief that the trade deadline's gone? Like, did you feel like it was hanging over your heads a little bit, just knowing your situation?
Yeah, I think it's hard, you know, coming to the rink every day with a group of guys and, you know, not knowing the future of you know, who's going to be here in a day, a week, whatever. I think that could definitely weigh on guys. And again, that's you know, on us for not winning hockey games. But yeah, I think maybe there's a little bit of a sigh of, like, a deep breath you could take now. And you know, you're here for the rest of the year, and you know, time to go to work as a Sabre.
Thanks, Matthias. Matthias Samuelson in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, so there's Samuelson echoing what Tuck said. Just look, it was stressful. Your name's out there. Tuck said that especially. I get it. Like, these guys are close. They're asked to be a close, tight-knit group for each other. You know, all the things that fans want them to be, bonding with each other. They hang out on and off the ice, all that sort of stuff, develop relationships. And then all of a sudden you're thinking here, well, somebody might be gone. I might be gone. Multiple players might be gone. And, you know, that's the case. I mean, look at, all of a sudden, you had, you know, three current Sabres and Obe Kobel as well, who, of course, was part of the organization this year. But Yuki Haru, Cousins, Gilbert, they're all gone all of a sudden now. And you've got some new faces in, but it's got to be tough. I mean, today's game, so blah. I mean, it wasn't good for the Sabres. You had guys that, you know, or two guys that are out that are sick. Quinn's coming back. Quinn didn't look good. He's really struggled this year in many facets. Beyond that, then you've got Norris coming in trying to figure things out. Lukanen's game just seemingly is not, you know, maybe at his worst of the season. Two of the three goals just kind of trickle in by him through his pads. You know, right now there's not a lot of whole good stuff going on. The power play's not good. you know, and you're playing Florida, so, you know, well, that's a. All the other things that I just mentioned, you are setting yourself up to lose. And then when you're playing the defending Stanley Cup champions, who are very, very good, you know, that all is going to add up to be a loss. But for Samuelson, for Tuck, I mean, for anybody that plays in the league on trade deadline week, like, that's tough. You know you're going to be there. You're close-knit with these guys. And all of a sudden, you know, they're gone. And that's got to be really tough, I think, overall. I mean, for anybody that enjoys the job they're at, you enjoy the colleagues that you work with, and then all of a sudden the next day, gone. They're not even there anymore. So, all right, here's Lindy Ruff live with Paul.
Lindy, when I think of some of the opportunities you did have, the goaltender didn't even make a save, a couple of two-on-ones, a breakaway, a post, and he didn't even make a save on any of them.
Yeah, you know, you look at, I think we made a save probably in the Krebs breakaway, but 3-on-1, we didn't get an opportunity. I mean, obviously we had some guys that had some fatigue. But a couple of the plays, we lost coverage. Two of the goals that were easy coverage goals, we let a backside defenseman walk right down and create the opportunity when the coverage was good everywhere else.
Just a low-energy game, knowing what's been going on with the trade deadline and illness, it just didn't seem to be a lot there.
You know what I thought? Like I said, we didn't take advantage of some of the plays we made. You know, 2-on-1, 3-on-1. Krebs break. We had the opportunities to stay right in the game. You know, they were being over aggressive and we created the opportunities. I mean we Greenway couldn't play and Kulik couldn't play, and you know, we've got a couple other guys. I mean, Quinn mustered up enough to play, but I think you could see he was low on.
What do you think of Josh? I know it's just one game, but what was your
You know,
start?
Emotional day, and I thought he came out well. You know, first period, I don't think he lost a face-off. They had a great opportunity at the start of the second period. You know, I liked his attention to the detail in the D zone. you know, thought skated well inside the game. I thought the kill at the end did a nice job with that. But it's not fair to judge a guy on, you know, when he flies in, gets in real late and has to play a game. So,
did you look at, you know, you try Tage over on the left wing. Did you just want to give Josh two good offensive guys to start with?
Well, you know, I was trying to load up to see if we could put, you know, the top six be, you know, be two top line. They got two pretty good lines up there that we were trying to match up. You know, I think if you look at two of the goals were our fourth line that got scored against. And, you know, they're a good team. I mean, they are Stanley Cup champions. They're heavy on the puck. But they gave us some opportunities we didn't take advantage of.
What do you think of Dunn, you know, stepping up to try to get
First NHL game for him. I thought, you know, offensively was in on some opportunities low, had a couple of really good shifts. Great job in the fight with Greer. Greer's he's a tough man, so did a great job. For a first game, not knowing a lot about him, but hearing how well he played, I thought Dunner did a great job. Thank you.
Lindy Ruff on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff as Buffalo falls for the sixth straight game. They are now winless in six, a 4-0 defeat at the hands of the Florida Panthers. Next up will be Edmonton on Monday at 7 o'clock. And, of course, McDavid will be in town. So something to at least maybe be excited about if you got tickets to that one. Yeah, Buffalo and Lindy Ruff mentioned it here. They're, you know, without a couple of guys due to illness. Greenway out, illness. Kulik out, illness. Quinn trying to fight through it. They still have Zucker's injury. You've got Norris coming off the plane. Kind of an emotional day for him. So a lot of variables in there, too. Lindy didn't make excuses for it, but that's part of it. And that, of course, is part of our injury report. We'll give it to you there. Brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. We'll read some tweets here coming up in just a little bit on the post game as we'll get connected with our fans. Powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. Don't forget, you can send me tweets after each and every game on Twitter at BrianWGR. All right, let's go back to Sunrise, Florida. Paul Hamilton here. And, Paul, there were some variables of going against the Sabres today with the illness, the injuries, the trade deadline. You're playing the defending champions. So, you know, you got to play pretty good if you're going to beat Florida, even when everything lines up for you. So it probably maybe isn't a huge surprise that we saw what we saw.
Yeah, as I told you earlier, and I haven't changed my mind, that was just a blah game. I mean, it was just meh. And you look at, you know, I asked Lindy about it. They did have some good scoring opportunities, but they didn't even make the goaltender make the save. You know, Quinn came down on a 2 or 3 on 1. It was a 2 on 1, a 3 on 1. Tuck hits a post. Benson comes out of the penalty box, goes to the backhand, slides off his stick. The only one he had to make a save on was Krebs' breakaway, where he made the blocker save. So they made it really easy on him when you do that. And those are your chances to score, and you don't even make the goaltender make a save, and that's tough. But I mean, it took them 9 minutes in the third period to get their first shot. So it was just, you know, type of effort. And, you know, you've got two guys from the Rochester Americans in the lineup, but one of them's an all-star and their leading scorer. I didn't like the one opportunity that Roseanne had, but other than that, you know, again, just comes up to the NHL, and I'm not impressed. And Quinn, I kind of figured he was low on energy just watching it, and you know, they had to have somebody play. They were low on players. They already called two guys up, so and they looked like it. It was just a low energy game, and when they had opportunities, they didn't even come close to capitalizing.
Paul, Tuck and Samuelson both talked about kind of, maybe you'll use the word stress or just how it, you know, it was in their head, the trade deadline. I mean, fans want these guys to be close. They want them to bond. They want them to have each other's back. They want them to be, you know, as fluent as ever out on the ice. So, of course, they're going to develop strong relationship. So hearing their name that, hey, they might be gone, and all of a sudden, there goes Dylan Cousins. There goes Dennis Gilbert. There goes Henryuki Harju. Like, I understand why it was tough for them and why even they're a little emotional talking about it.
Oh, definitely. It's a yesterday was a tough day on them, and you know, you have that day, and then here's the new player, and let's play. You know, but that happened in Ottawa. They lost. It was the same exact thing for the Senators. And they lost a player that they all really liked a lot and they were best friends with. And they have a 12:30 game, and the next player is here, and let's go play. And that next player had a career high in hits with 9 hits and an assist. And the Senators won the hockey game. So, you know, they went through the same thing, and they got through it. So, and these players understand, and Tuck has said it, Thompson has said it, this is their fault, and they know it. And yeah. Tuck, I agree with him 100%. If they went and played better and played the way they're supposed to, these things wouldn't be happening, and because they'd be a better hockey team fighting for a playoff spot. But they have nobody, you know, if they're upset that they lost a friend who's now playing for the Ottawa Senators, they have nobody to blame but themselves.
And Samuelson said it too. He said it twice in your interview, Paul, that he said ultimately, you know, it was hard and ultimately we lost these guys and ultimately, yeah. But both times he finished his answer by saying, but again, it all comes back because we didn't win hockey games. So they're aware. You're right.
Yeah, they're aware, and it's on them. And, you know, it wasn't the season it's supposed to be, and because of that, now this core is going to get broken up, some of them. And if Cousins is the only one to leave, then Kevin Adams is making a mistake. He shouldn't blow the whole thing up, but that should only be the first move, and there need to be quite a few others.
Paul, ultimately, just a quick thought or two on the game itself here. 0 goals for Buffalo. I know they obviously had some guys out, but just why the lack of offense do you see here over the 60 minutes?
Well, as I said, the chances they got, they didn't make the goaltender make a save. You're not going to score if you don't put it in a place where he has to make a save. So that happened to them. And, again, it was just not a lot of passion. You're looking at the third period. It takes you 9 minutes to get a shot on goal. And they had a couple of shots on goal, but I mean, think back. Did this goaltender have to make a real difficult save or anything close to it in this shutout? And this is a goaltender that absolutely owns them when he played with the Washington Capitals. And it seemed like during the lockout they were playing the Capitals every day. He just continually beat them almost every time he played against them, and here he is again. But, you know, he got his shutout, and I'll give him credit. But, again, I don't think that would have to rank as one of the easiest shutouts he would ever have gotten.
I agree. One thought on Norris. I know Lindy said maybe not fair to judge him today, but I guess your first impression of seeing him in a Sabre uniform.
Yeah, no, it was the whole thing was and he was too. I mean, he's trying to get used to the players out there. He started with Tuck and Thompson. Thompson hasn't played any left wing that I remember here. But, you know, you heard Lindy, and I get it. He wanted to get him out there with 2 good offensive players and see what – and this is the time to find things out, too. I mean, take a look at that. Is that a line that you can go with next year? You know, if Lindy has that in the back of his head, why not look at it now? And then you'll know over the summer that, well, these guys can play together or, nah, that didn't really work. So I have no problem with him trying that out and see what they can do with it.
Paul, great job throughout these last few days with all the contract news, the trades, the transactions, the press conference with Kevin Adams. Appreciate all your efforts. It sounded great back here on the station. So kudos to your effort. I hope you have a safe and restful day tomorrow coming back. And then I'll see you Monday night in Buffalo with Edmonton in town.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. Paul Hamilton with us here on the post-game show down in Sunrise as Buffalo falls for the 6th consecutive night, or 6th consecutive game, rather, 4-0. In Florida. All right, for all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the post game, you can go to WGR550.com or you can listen in on the Odyssey app. Still to come, highlights, scores, standings. Also, Paul interviewed Tage Thompson earlier today, and Thompson very emotional about losing Dylan Cousins. So we'll have that interview, and also we'll finish post game with Kevin Adams' entire comments from yesterday. If you missed any of that, we'll finish postgame with that tonight. 4-0, Florida beats Buffalo. I'm Brian Colziel. Postgame rolling on. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Into Norris, and now it's a 2-on-0 here for Florida. Bennett in front to Bennett. Oh, what a stop. Luukkonen got over, held the glove out, and this game stays at 2-0.
Now, Luukko-Pekka Luukkonen trying to keep Buffalo in it. Ultimately, in the end, no goals. It didn't matter, but that one, our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. Four great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 4-0, Florida defeats Buffalo. Brian Colziel back here on the postgame. Sabres now winless in 6. A rough go at it today, as we mentioned. 2 guys out with sickness. No Kulik, no Greenway. Zucker still hurt. Norris coming in on the flight, trying to play with his new teammates here for the first time in a stressful situation. And the Sabres have 2 call-ups from Rochester in Dunn and in Roseanne. And Dunn at least gets involved in a fight there with protecting Malenstein early third period. But the Sabres just unable to score in this one. Now, again, it's not, you know, there's a lot of factors there. Maybe why Buffalo didn't play well. But as Paul also mentioned, look at Ottawa handled it okay. They had players leaving. They had an emotional day. Dylan Cousins traveled and, you know, got into the game. And guess what? He had a huge impact. Had an assist, 9 hits, career high, 2nd star, and Ottawa won in overtime. So they were able to get it done. Now, the Sabres are playing Florida. It's essentially the team that's first in the Atlantic against last in the Atlantic. So even if Buffalo was fully healthy and they didn't even have the trade, I'm not saying that this game would have been any different, but there were some factors against Buffalo here today for sure. All right, let's get our final stats in. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots in the third, 12-3. Sabres has had 3 in the third. They finish with 21. Florida finishes with 36 in this game. In the nets, it was Vitek Vanecek, an easy 21-save shutout. He gets the first star for that. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen in the loss. He surrenders 3 on 35 attempts. Florida's 36 shot went into the empty net. Greer with the game winner, he's star 3. Schmidt with a couple of assists, he's star 2. And Vanecek in goal, star number 1, in front of 19,559 at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise, Florida. And the Sabres will next play Monday at home at KeyBank Center against the Edmonton Oilers. Face-off at 7, pregame at 6. And that game is, I believe, what is it, ESPN Hulu maybe on Monday? So the only place to get Dan and Rob is going to be right here. Yes, that is a ESPN Plus Hulu game. ESPN Plus game. Okay. So make note of that. Also, didn't get our power plays in. Not much there tonight. Sabres 0 of 2, Panthers 0 of 1. That's your Dynabrade.com power play update powered by Dynabrade Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. All right, let's read some tweets as we get connected with our fans now. Powered by Verizon, get to your local Verizon store today. You can always send me your thoughts after each and every game at BrianWGR. Carl, when are we getting new excuses? These are recycled ones, are getting exhausting. Well, they should have, they had some new ones today here with the trade deadline. Liam talking about Tuck, saying, quote, he should have been captain. I would have been okay with that. I understand why the decision was to go with Dahlin. If it was my decision today, I would have picked Tuck. I don't think it's worked out great with Dahlin. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, but if I could pick today, I think I'd pick Tuck for sure. Francis says they'll be lucky to hit 500 in the last games. I know Alex Tuck talking about trying to play their best over the finish. Yeah, that's definitely what they have to do, is try to make these games watchable. Today was a very, very tough one to watch for sure. Thank you for the tweets. Appreciate those coming in here as we get connected with our fans powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. All right, with that being said, now let's see what happened elsewhere in the league. Let's get our scores, and they're brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorney. All right, let's start with the games that are going on right now, and that'll take us to Denver for the first score here. Colorado and Toronto going at it. And the Maple Leafs have a 4-3 lead after two periods of play. After two in Calgary, the Flames have just one goal, but lead Montreal by a score of 1-0. Starting the second in Nashville, Chicago a 1-0 lead on the Nashville Predators. LA, after one period of play, leads St. Louis 1-0 on a Kopitar goal. All right, finals from earlier. I mentioned Ottawa wins 4-3 in overtime over the Rangers. Dylan Cousins, 9 hits, 1 assist, second star in the game. Boston playing without Brad Marchand, shutting out Tampa today by a score of 4-0. Seattle winning in Philadelphia by a score of 4-1. Amerks drop their fourth straight. They lose to Laval tonight by a score of 2-1. More losing outcomes to give you here. Bandits, this is a rare blowout loss for them. They lose at home to Calgary 17-11. Not good in those games. Not much better as we get to Big Four local college hoops. We'll go with Niagara first. They lose at Ryder by 1, 77-76. With the loss, Niagara now eliminated from postseason contention in terms of their conference tournament in the Metro Atlantic. The Purple Eagles finish 11-20. Canisius ends their season with a loss at St. Peter's, 70-62. The Griffs finish the year a painful 3-28. There's a win for a Western New York team. St. Bonaventure in their regular season finale winning at Davidson 64-61. The Bonnies are 21-10, and they will go into the A-10 tournament next week. Top 25 hoops, matchup of ranked teams today. A couple of wild ones in overtime. St. John's ranked 6th in the country. They win at number 20 Marquette at the buzzer in overtime, 86-84. The Red Storm now have won the most games ever in the history of their program in Big East play. Nate Oates and number 7 Alabama upset number 1 Auburn on the road in overtime, also at the buzzer on a game-winning shot at the horn, 93-91. A couple of other games of note, top 25 hoops. Number 19, Kentucky, winning at number 15, Missouri, 91-83. Rivalry game in Chapel Hill. Number 2, Duke pulls away from North Carolina down the stretch. The Blue Devils improve to 28-3, 82-69. With Auburn's loss, likely the Blue Devils will probably move to number 1 in the nation. Kansas upsets number 24 Arizona, 83-76. Number 5 Florida beats Mississippi, 90-71. If you want some games later tonight, college hoops. Number 3 Houston is at Baylor at 10 o'clock. Number 23 BYU hosting Utah also at 10. Yeah, big week of college hoops coming up. Conference tournaments all over the place. Selection Sunday a week from tomorrow. We'll finish with golf. The Arnold Palmer Invitational down in Orlando. Colin Morikawa is your leader after 3 rounds, minus 10. Russell Henley is 1 back at minus 9. Canadian Corey Connors, 2 back at minus 8. Jason Day at minus 7. As the final round will be tomorrow from what is expected to be a very, very windy Bay Hill Club and Lodge. All right, huge day in sports for sure here. Busy, busy, busy day as the Sabres fall to Florida. In just a few moments here, we're going to hear from Tage Thompson. Paul got a chance to talk with Thompson earlier today about the trading that happened yesterday, and Cousins and Thompson were very, very close. So that interview, you're going to hear Tage Thompson's thoughts here coming up shortly. Definitely something that you're going to want to stick around for. And then we'll also, after that, we'll give you a chance to hear from Sabres general manager Kevin Adams, as he, of course, met with Paul and the rest of the media down in Sunrise, Florida. So that's coming up here in just a few moments. But while we wait to get to that Thompson interview, let's update you here on the standings from what happened today. With Florida's win, they now get a little cushion on the Maple Leafs in the division. Florida has 83 points, Toronto 79. The Panthers have won 6 in a row. So right now it's Florida, Toronto, Tampa, and probably that's, you know, maybe to be expected. I would have said, you know, would have the Bruins been in there? But they maybe are selling off here with those trades that they made, including with Marchand. Boston, though, did get the win today to pull within 2 of Columbus for the final playoff spot. Ottawa's moved into wild card 1 with 69, Columbus with 68. The Rangers on the outside looking in with 68 due to more games played. Montreal, Detroit, Boston all with 66. So a really, really good race going on for the wild cards. It's too bad Buffalo's not in it because it would be exciting every night with all these Eastern teams playing each other. You've got the Islanders with 63, the Flyers 62, the Penguins with 58, and then you go down to Buffalo with 54. Points percentage-wise, the Sabres are at 435. There's only three teams worse: Nashville, Chicago, and San Jose. All right. There's your look at the scoreboard and the standings. Appreciate you sending in the tweets. Let's go ahead now and shift gears and hear Paul Hamilton's conversation with Tage Thompson as he reacts to the trades made yesterday by the Sabres general manager.
How emotional was it to lose a player like Dylan Cousins in a trade?
Yeah, yesterday's tough. Obviously, a lot of different emotions. Because he's probably one of my best friends on the team, if not my best friend here, and been through a lot together over the last handful of seasons, and really going to miss him. I think everyone in the room is going to miss him. He's a great guy in the locker room. Not only him, Gibby, Yoki, just good guys in the locker room, fun to be around, pieces to our team, obviously, that I thought were important, and it's just kind of one of those things where it's a business, and if you don't win, you got to do something, and unfortunately, those guys had to be part of that decision. And on the flip side, seems like we got two good guys coming back. Norris is already here, and a chance to talk to him a little bit, and obviously, hell of a player, and I think he's going to fit in great with the group, and same with Bernard Docker there, and but it's one of those days that's just filled with different emotions. It's, I think, a day that a lot of guys probably dread. It was definitely a tough one.
You said after the San Jose game, you guys have kind of done this to yourself, and something like this could happen because of it, and it wound up happening.
Yeah, I think anyone that plays in the league knows that this is the nature of the business, and I think that gets magnified too when you're losing, and you never want to see it happen, but it does. I think over the years you build a lot of close relationships, and I'd say bonds that are closer to brothers than friendships, just because of everything you go through together. You're with each other every day. You go through a lot of emotional things together, and those are guys that you lean on, and that lean on you. And so I think it's definitely tough when you see one of those guys go.
From when you played Ottawa, what was your takeaways on Norris? He's a guy who seems to be able to play in all situations.
Yeah, I think just very responsible is like the first thing that probably pops into my head. Obviously, everyone knows the skill he has and the playmaking ability, the finishing ability, but I think just his hockey smarts, I think he's always positionally in the right spot, which is why he has the puck on his stick so much. And because of that, the guys that he plays with benefit from it. He's one of those guys that I think helps improve his line mates, just for the simple fact that positionally they're going to have the puck more. You're not chasing the game as much. Great in the dot, having taken faceoffs against him. But I think the playmaking, the offensive too, obviously he's very, very dangerous on the power play, sees the ice very well. I'm looking forward to playing with him. It should be a lot of fun.
Did you know him at all other than playing against him prior?
No, I was just playing against him in Ottawa there. I know he's come up through the USA program, a little younger than me, so missed him by a year or two. Obviously, just you hear names that come up behind you, and he's definitely one of them that's always been on everybody's lips.
That was Sabres forward Tage Thompson yesterday with Paul Hamilton. Emotional, very close with Dylan Cousins. And, of course, Cousins now off to Ottawa. If you heard Paul earlier in the postgame, Cousins had a great game today in Ottawa's 4-3 overtime win over the Rangers. Cousins had one assist, 9 hits, a career high there, and was named second star in Ottawa's win. If you're wondering when Buffalo and Ottawa will play, well, they'll be in Buffalo here in 2 weeks on March 25th on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. So Cousins will come back, as will Gilbert. And then the Sabres actually do play in Ottawa. So Norris, Josh Norris, will get a chance to go back and do the same thing. That'll be on Tuesday, April 1st. So still two more meetings with the Sabres and the Senators. All right, obviously this trade, the dealings of Kevin Adams, he made more moves. Of course, the trading of Nick Obey-Cabell, the trading of Henry Yokiharju, the re-signing of Jason Zucker, the re-signing of Jordan Greenway. So all that and more here with Kevin Adams and his press conference from yesterday. So our Paul Hamilton leading the way. We wanted to give you that here to close out the post-game show. Here's the Sabres GM on the recent moves and the trade deadline.
You know, I think from my perspective, made it very clear to the league that we were open for business, and we were very diligent in the way we were going about this, meaning we wanted to improve our hockey team. And there were certainly a lot of opportunities to do futures and prospect picks for different types of deals, multipliers, and it's just for my thought process on this was, how can we improve our team? And I think today was a good day.
Do you think it was just a case where the standings are, you had to make a major shift with a piece of your core?
Yeah, you know, I think, Mike, you evaluate that as you go and you say, okay, like, what's working, what's not working, and you can't be afraid of making changes. You can't be afraid of making big trades. And I'd be lying if I didn't say part of the reason that you were really open to a big trade is how the season's gone. But these are hard trades to make. We trade out good players, and you know, we're excited about the return, but these are hard days. But at the end of the day, when I kind of get to this point, I'm talking to you guys, I feel like we accomplished our goal coming into the trade deadline period of, you know, making our team better.
2 years ago, you signed Dylan to that contract. You probably never imagined getting to this point. Like, when did you kind of have an idea that you'd be willing to listen on him in particular, and what led you to that point?
Well, I think I have a lot of respect for Dylan Cousins. I'll start there. And I believe that Dylan is going to be a very good player in the National Hockey League for a long time. And when I look at our group, what I started to think a lot about, and I talked to the coaches and the management staff, is how do you change the dynamic of the team, and where do you start? And it felt like Dylan is a very good number two center in the National Hockey League, and if you're going to make a big move, the conversations were kind of starting there. And he was not someone, I want to be clear, that we were looking to move or we were just going to just trade. It was going to have to be a hockey trade that we felt made our team better. And that was the intention on him, and certainly other players and core pieces and that type of thing. But yeah, that's, I'd say, probably just how we got to today.
What are your impressions of Norris at this point?
Well, I just, you know, obviously a player that I have a very, very high opinion of. I've been watching very closely for a while. He's a 200-foot center, very, very talented, responsible on both sides of the puck. He plays in all situations. I mean, all situations, both special teams, very good face-off guy. You know, you watch him and you scout him, and he's out there 3-on-3, 4-on-4. You know, just a really good hockey player that is a true center that we think is going to be a guy that can come in and give us a boost and make the guys around him better. And that's why we target him.
He was a highly touted guy coming out. Has he just had hard luck? I know he's had a couple of surgeries. Has he just had hard luck in his NHL career?
Yeah, I think it happens sometimes. And, you know, you look at those things and pay attention and try to understand exactly what's going on. And but, yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to make sense of, you know, like when things happen and then you know, you ask the question, like, okay, is there a reason a certain injury happened? And you do your homework, and that's what we did. But we were certainly comfortable that this is a very that he's healthy, and this is a very, very good player with a lot of upside, and also, you know, term on his contract, and someone that can grow with our group.
What was Dylan's reaction, or what was that conversation like for you?
Hardest part of the job. Just be honest with you guys. Emotional for both of us. He's someone that I care about, have a lot of respect for. And basically what I told him was just that, you know, I appreciate you as a person. This is not personal. This is us in a position where I felt I had to make a really hard decision to improve our club. And, you know, I gave him a hug and wished him luck and told him that, you know, just sometimes in life, the next chapter, you know, turns out can be a great thing. So, but it was hard. It was a really hard day in that respect. And, you know, both for Dylan and, you know, the players coming our way, you build relationships and, you know, you're part of, you got brothers that you go to battle with every day. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot of emotion on days like this, and that's why I said it's, you know, it's the toughest part of the job.
Did you get the impression with him that he always wanted to be part of the solution here?
100%. Nothing but respect for Dylan, the way he carried himself. He would be the first one in my office saying, I need to be better, and what do I need to do to help this team? You know, so always looking at himself and internally and wanting more from his own game, which I have a lot of respect for. So he did, and he committed to us long term at a time, if you need to go back, where there wasn't as much of that going on. And so that meant a lot to me, and it still means a lot to me. But, you know, in this job, you need to make decisions that you think are best and for your team and that are very hard to make. But that's what we did today.
Kevin, you certainly wish you were in a different spot right now. The last press conference 3 months ago, you were on that day, I think, 3 points out of the playoffs. You end up going winless for 13 games in a row. I guess the question I would have about this entire season is, in that 13-game stretch where the season went south, why were no moves made? No minor league call-ups, waivers, trades, nothing happened in a 13-game stretch, and the season was basically over.
Yeah, it's I appreciate the question. You know, it's when you look at it, as you take a step back and say, you know, maybe could we have jolted or done something? Sometimes there's a trade deadline. Trades happen for a reason, because there's a pressure point. You know, there's a deadline, and when we were in the middle of the 13-game. There wasn't a deadline, and there wasn't a pressure point for other teams. And as hard as I was pushing potentially to do stuff that you guys may not know about, you know, you need someone else to partner up with. So what I wasn't going to do was make an emotional or make a decision just to make a trade or to move out a good hockey player because we're losing for futures or, you know, we have had a lot of picks. We've had prospects. So that just wasn't what I felt was the right thing to do for our team. But that stretch really, really hurt our season, and it's frustrating, believe me.
Moving forward now, your plan has obviously changed a little bit here. You have a core group of players, which you have had now for 2 or 3 years, and now it looks like, of course, you're not blowing it all up. I know that. But it looks like you might make some moves out of the core or into the core. You just made one now. How are you looking at moving forward now as you try to, you know, get the team, because you and Lindy both said, and it didn't surprise me when you said it, that the time is now, and it didn't work out that way this year. So now as you move forward, how do you tweak that plan maybe?
Well, I agree. It's a good question, because my job is to look at every single aspect of this organization, on the ice, what surrounds our guys, everything, and say, you know, what do we need to do better? And I need to start with myself. What do I need to do better? And then go through everything. And nothing will be off the table in terms of how we look at things. There's going to be a lot of hard conversations down the stretch. What I believe is we have a lot of good hockey players on our team and talented hockey players, and we haven't performed well enough. And so as we go into, you know, the stretch, we expect our guys to compete and play hard and win hockey games. And then when we get to the offseason, we're going to be looking at every part of this to say, what do we need to do? And if we need to move someone out to upgrade our team and to make our team better, we're going to do that. So nothing for me is off the table. And we'll look at everything, you know, the mix. And sometimes you think something on paper looks like it works, and then maybe it doesn't. So can you change that? And a lot of the trades, and I've probably said this to you guys before, a lot of trades, I mean, these trades take a long time, but even trades that didn't happen today, that things that we discussed, you probably pick up again after the season. You know, and these things may end up getting towards the draft, and so that's something that we'll continue to evaluate.
Kevin, you took multiple hits last night as a team from Ray Ferraro on the broadcast, talking about the team essentially being soft in the scrums, and Dylan was in the middle of that. Obviously, the Thompson thing was a flashpoint, another flashpoint of the season, really impacted your team in a negative way in terms of perception. How do you address the idea that this team has just been far too soft in multiple areas?
Yeah, I didn't hear what Ray said. I was obviously at the game live watching, so I can't, comment to that piece in particular. But look, I believe that we need to be harder to play against, and we need to have a better five-man pack mentality. And I guess what I mean by that is there's all sorts of ways to be tough and hard. And, there's certainly the fighting that people see, and that can happen. And I think there's been times this year where guys have stepped up and done that when it's needed to be done. But what I'd like to see of our team, and this is something that has certainly been discussed and addressed and will continue to be a conversation, is you have to have each other's back at all times in this sport. And when you are out there, and if something happens, you need to be there for each other, and you need to be together. And that's the team tough, the pack mentality I'm talking about. And I think sometimes when in a team sport, when everybody's kind of in it together and shoulder to shoulder, it makes everybody a little taller and a little stronger, and that's what we need to get to. We're not there. It hasn't been good enough, and it's something that it's certainly going to be something that we think more about, address, talk about, and Lindy and I have certainly talked about a lot about that.
Dennis Gilbert was the guy who would do that. Is this a trade that Ottawa maybe said, look, we want him? Because I know Dennis is one of the guys that would do that for you.
I love Gibby. He did everything he was asked here, and there was a reason that Ottawa wanted him. I can't say enough good things about Gibby, and he's all about the town of Buffalo too. So that wasn't an easy part of this trade, moving a guy like him. But yeah, and it's he's not here, and so now we have to make sure that we're all looking in the mirror in the locker room and taking care of each other, and that's something that we're going to need to be better at.
When you talk about that five-man pack mentality, that's something that obviously kind of needs to come organically. I'm curious your read on just the state of the room right now. Like, a lot of young guys who have endured a lot of losing, and we've seen what that's done to other players in the past in this franchise. Like, what is your read on that? Is there any fear of some of these guys just getting worn out by it?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, honestly, Matt, because it is something I think about, and it's something that I think if you ignore, you could be in trouble. So the question is, if you think about it like that, then what do you do about it? What you do about it, for me, is you have conversations, and then you make sure when you have guys like Jordan Greenway and Jason Zucker that want to be Buffalo Sabres and that are tremendous pros on and off the ice, and they understand what you're talking about, you got to keep those guys. And which we were, fortunately, it wasn't easy. We were able to do, and good on them to want to be here. And I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you have to actually talk about it. And Jason Zucker has to be able to sit with Jack Quinn and say, here's what I see, and we need to be better in this area, and enough's enough of that. And I'm just using an example, not anything Jack did, but just, And I think that's the way. What I can tell you is, and I can tell our fans this, I promise our guys care, and it has not gone well this year. But this is not a group of players that doesn't respect the game, doesn't want to be in Buffalo. These guys, we're not where we need to be, and I'm going to do everything in my power to fix it, starting with what I need to do better and look in the mirror first. But I love the town, okay? I love Buffalo. I'm from Buffalo. I know what this place can be and what it means, this organization and franchise mean to the city, and I can speak to that better than almost anyone. And we haven't done a good enough job. And that's something that I take extremely personal, and the thought of anyone ever thinking that I don't love Buffalo and don't love what we can do, that we can do something special here, just it hurts. So I want to fix it. And I'm going to do everything I can, and it starts with what you talked about, the conversations and the hard things, and we're going
to
do it.
We used to go through the parts of your roster, and we know what individual guys need to do better. What do you need to do better?
Me personally? Well, I think so. It's funny because I do self-evaluate and self-reflect quite a bit, and the 13-game winless streak would be a perfect example, Mike. Could I or should I have done something? I think a lot about it. But then on the other flip side, I think, but there's sometimes a short-term jolt that can maybe not be the best thing long-term. And I beat myself up that did I miss something? So that's probably what I'd say. I can do a better job of really looking at things and saying, you know what? We're doing this today. And then you need a partner, I will say. I wasn't even during that 13 games just, hanging out. There was a lot of phone calls and there was a lot of push, but, I also am a big believer you have to sometimes take a step back and take emotion out of it and make sure you don't make a mistake because you're emotional. So I need to be better in terms of every single part of my job. I haven't been good enough. I haven't put a team on the ice that is capable of being in the playoffs, even though when I look at our talent and I look at where we are compared to other teams, I think we should be there, be in the fight, and I'm going to fix it.
Is it possible maybe some of these guys got rushed up? And let me use Jiří Kulík as an example. He played over 100 AHL games, and we've seen his development here. As you look at your Rochester now, you still have some good prospects down there who are in first place, by the way. Mm-hmm. Are you careful that, let them just do it down there? Maybe not rush Devin up here or rush the two Russian defensemen or Hellenius, mm-hmm. or whoever we may be talking about. Do you want to just see them, hey, just won't be in a rush to be here? Like Kulík, as I said, it was over 100 AHL games that he played.
I totally agree, and I totally believe in that. And I look at when this started, Peterka and Quinn, they dominated the American Hockey League. So I don't think we rushed anything there in terms of were they ready? But you do know, even after guys have had time in the American League and have performed, when you're young, you're still going to have the dips and you're going to have just the nature of it as the ups and downs. Are there a couple things that probably if I had to do over again, what I would have looked at? Maybe. But I think, Paul, that when I kind of take a step back, we're in a different phase now. There was a time where you wanted to make sure you were getting guys reps and, trying not to block guys with certain making a mistake, maybe going out and signing a veteran guy at the July 1, that kind of thing, because I needed our young guys to kind of get there. But if I made some mistakes, for sure. And that's what I talk about when I'm being self-aware and reflect. But I think overall we've done a pretty good job of developing. And I also think where the state of Rochester, that's a tremendous hockey team being led by a lot of young kids who are exciting for us. But we're not going to rush them for sure.
How much work do you think needs to be done to this roster still?
I'd like to think about the mix of our guys, and sometimes what I mean by that is talent is talent, but it doesn't always work together. So what could we find a certain type of partner for Owen Power that fits a little bit better? And that's, I'd say, what I'd really want to focus on as we head into the off season is where could we just take steps? And I think that's what we did today, where Norris is a tremendous 200-foot two-way centerman that makes the players around him better, plays on both special teams. So those are the type of things that we have to be able to assess and be aggressive and go out. And now we gave up a great player to get him, but I just think we're going to have to really keep at that as we get into the summer.
How about the defenseman you got back?
Yeah, he, you know, you look at a former first-round pick, 24 years old, right shot D, who's played over 100 NHL games. Like, there's a lot to like, and I think for us it's a good opportunity to get him in and kind of assess where he's at. He obviously coming off an injury and stuff, but a good player.
We've heard reports about maybe Joki Haru or Abe Kubel. Is that anything you can comment on yet, or hasn't the NHL helped you out on that yet?
Abe Kubel, just before I walked in here, the trade call was done. So that is a trade that is done, but I can't comment on the other one. And you know, you guys have been around a long time and done this right at the deadline. A lot of trades come, so it's in the queue somewhere, but I unfortunately I can't comment on it.
How about some thoughts on Zucker? There's a veteran guy who's had a good year who could have said to you, hey, I want to go chase a cup, find me another spot. Now you paid him, obviously, but just the thought that he wanted to be part of this still.
Can't say enough good things about Jason Zucker from day one. And you know, like, when you get a guy in, you do your homework in the summer and you hear things, but you never really know till a guy walks in the door. And he has been a leader, a tremendous pro. He's become someone that Rasmus Dahlin goes to on small decisions, big decisions, as Rasmus learns how to be a captain. You know, the guys in the room respect the career he's had, but the teams he's played on, he's been tremendous. And you know what, I give Jason a lot of credit, because the first conversation he and I had together about, you know, the future was, I believe, in Seattle now, whatever that would have been a few weeks ago. And I challenged him a little bit, like, tell me why you want to be a Sabre. And he just said, I've fallen in love with this town and the locker room and these young guys, and I want to see this through. I know how good this team can be, and I want to be part of what could really happen in a special way here and turn this thing. And I just, that means a lot to me. You guys know how I feel. So I think that was a really important signing, and I give him credit, because he would have been a pretty sought-after guy on the open market for sure with the year he's had.
With Rasmus as your captain, we see the frustration he has on the ice, and sometimes it affects his play. You get to sit down with him in a room. Does he have that same frustration when he's talking to you that we see on the ice?
I just had a long sit down with Rasmus a couple of days ago for an hour in my office, and you know, you, the fans, you guys maybe not see the different side of him. He's incredibly intelligent and thoughtful in the way he approaches things, and he asks a lot of questions. And what he and I talk a lot about is how does he balance, you know, what he does on the ice, off the ice, you know, all those type of things. And I think the frustration that maybe you're referring to is also what makes him elite, because he's so competitive. And I told him, I'll share this with everyone, because I think it's important. I told him, you're our biggest minutes guy, generally every night, but you're also one of two and three guys that I would say work the absolute hardest in practice. You guys are in practice, you watch how hard he goes in every drill and competes. And I said, we need 23 of them. You know, like, so we need this mentality of just absolute, you know, competitive, and that's where he's maturing. And I just believe the way he is going to continue to drag more guys into the fight. And I just, man, I respect that about him. And his talent's his talent, but I just think the other stuff is what I think makes him so special.
Where are you at with some of your RFAs? We saw J.J. Paterka's name floated around a lot this week, and, you know, that's obviously a big part of your future, you know, planning and spending for next year.
Yeah, I guess there were a bunch of rumors out there on J.J., I was told, by our PR staff. Zero truth to anything around J.J. in terms of looking to move him or any of that stuff. I think JJ's a guy that's a young player still. We're going to sit down after the season. We'll get to his agent immediately and say, okay, where do we go from here? But I just think he's one of our core young guys, and we need him to continue to get better, and we need to make sure that we're also explaining to him how we're going to make the team better.
What about Bo? I mean, you already have some high price defenseman that you have. Bo is going to command quite a bit of money. How do you look at trying to re-sign him?
It goes back to the puzzle that I kind of said, like the fit, right? You know, he's been really good with Rasmus. Now, I think it was good. You know, Lindy, they changed the pairs up a little lately. Just, you know, Samuelson, we need to become back to Sammy, you know, the who we know he is, a top four that's hard to play against. And in terms of, you know, Bo, I think he's been really good for us this year. He's competitive. Yeah, we haven't started any conversations with him. You know, you guys know my style. The first conversation I like to have is with the player and say, you know, do you want to be here and why? And, you know, those are the first steps. But I'm certainly a guy that I think is a good Buffalo Sabre because he loves the game. You know, he's infectious personality, and I think he's had a good on a personal level. He's one of our players that I think's had a pretty good season.
I mean, there's a lot of variables with the RFAs, but when you look at your projections, the cap's going up. Like, do you anticipate having room to make, you know, additions from the outside? Do you anticipate, like, kind of being a cap team?
Yeah, I mean, the way things are headed right now, and even, you know, with today, there was a, you know, we took on, obviously, cap, you know, in terms of the trades we made and all that stuff are with Norris. And, yeah, I think we're going to be, you know, it's always hard to say because some of the stuff's projections, but the way we kind of look at our cap situation is we're going to be right there. And, you know, I know that's been a little bit of a narrative out there. It's never been something that we weren't able to do. Part of it is when you go through what we've gone through in terms of getting so young and trying to build this back up, you know, you're going to have a lot of entry-level contracts. But what I've also said all along is some of these entry-level contracts jump up pretty quick, and that's kind of what we're projecting on some of that this summer. So I think that we're going to try to do everything we can to make the team better, but yeah, we're going to be right there when it's all said and done, I think, with the cap.
What was Terry's message in Montreal, and what was Terry's message to you in recent weeks about this team going forward?
I mean, I want to be careful about Montreal in terms of, you know, I think it was what was said was really impressive, but I think it's better just to the players have that to themselves. But what I think the bigger thing I could share is that the commitment of Terry Pegula. He got on the plane, flew in, met with the team, got on the plane and flew out. You know, it's like us driving to Transit Road. And he did that because he cares, and he didn't have to do that. So I think that sent a pretty strong message to the players, how invested he is. He cares so much. He watches every game. He loves this team. He loves the guys. And over the last few weeks, you know, the message to me has been, you know, what do we need to do to make this team better? Everything we should be thinking about is, you know, we need to improve, and what are those decisions? And Kevin, come up with answers. And that's, you know, part of why we did what we did today, because we think it improved our team.
You say you have uncomfortable talks with players, with coaches. Does he have uncomfortable talks with you too?
Yeah, I mean, what I wouldn't say uncomfortable, I'd say honest. Mm-hmm. You know, Terry and I have a long relationship. You guys know that. I'm very honest with Terry when I'm asked a question, and if I've made a mistake, I tell him I've made a mistake. When I believe I have a solution, I'm going to tell him I have a solution. I certainly am keeping him informed of every possible scenario of what we're going to do, and ultimately he's empowered me to make the final decisions. And that's what I did today. Took in all the information, listened, made sure he was in the loop, and when push came to shove, it's my call. But that's what I love about Terry, because we do have that relationship where there's true honesty, and I accept responsibility for where we are in the standings. It's on me.
What's your sense of just the job Lindy's done? And I know it was a 2-year commitment. You know, this time last year you're making a coaching change, and just what do you think of the job he's done and what it looks like going into the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, Lindy'd be the first one to stand up here and say that we didn't expect to be where we are in the standings, and he's disappointed and frustrated. But what I've seen from Lindy is an authentic person that he's got so much experience that he can explain to the players, like, this is the process, and the result's going to take care of itself. And if we don't get the process right, the results are going to be poor, and we're working on that. Like, we haven't played the right way enough this year. Our defensive game is not good enough. We have not kept the pucks out of our net. Our 5-on-5 scoring has been good. Our special teams have to get better. But, you know, like, so this is the stuff that Lindy's able to say. And if I'm assessing, like, I think there's been some really good growth in some certain areas, and I think there's other areas that we need to improve. You know, and Lindy and I, you know, similar to the Terry conversation, Lindy and I have a long relationship and a very honest relationship, and we'll be lockstep here as we finish out the season and then get into the summer, and he'll be part of, okay, what does he think? And, you know, this is, he's certainly not a coach that he just coaches and I just do this. We talk every day about everything and bounce ideas off each other, and I just think that he knows there's a lot more to get out of this group, and that's the next step for us.
Did you send Kulik down before 5 so he could play in the playoffs?
Yeah, and what I said to him was that it's not a slam dunk that we will, but let's have the conversation. Let's at least make sure we're in a position where we're able to if we want. And, you know, so he'll be here with us, and obviously through the rest of the season. I think he's had a really, really good rookie season, but I think it's a conversation. You know, where is he at? And where's the growth opportunity, development opportunity? I mean, like, I want the expectation of our group to be playing into June, you know, and sometimes you have to feel that. And he's done that in the American League. But, you know, part of what we have to do, and this is going to be a message that I'm going to continue to talk to our team about, is we have to raise our own standard. Our personal standard has to be better, and then that'll help the team standard become higher. And he has a high personal standard, even at a really young age. So that's part of what we'll talk about as we get towards the end of the season and, you know, see what we end up doing with Rochester.
New guys available tomorrow? Any of them?
Norris will be supposed to get in late tonight. Unfortunately, JBD is it's immigration. I don't know if you guys know anyone, but maybe you can make a call for me.
Do you got to call a defenseman up then?
What's that?
Do you have to call up a defenseman then?
I think we're at 6 right now. It's been a long, long few weeks here. So I don't think so, but we do have some guys sick. And more than you even know. So it's going to be a little dicey here over the next 24 hours. Potentially. I don't know how long the immigration stuff, but definitely not for tomorrow for him.
You expect these two defensemen you added to, you know, be on the NHL roster?
No. Branstrom will report to Rochester, but JBD will be here.
Thank you.
That was Sabres general manager Kevin Adams here as we put a wrap on our postgame show. Buffalo falling in Florida by a score of 4-0. No goals tonight for Buffalo. Vitek Vanacek gets the shutout, first star. Sabres will try to rebound Monday night at home as they welcome Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers to town. That will be a 7 o'clock puck drop. We'll have the pregame show starting at 6. And that'll wrap things here tonight. On the postgame, thanks for listening. Want to thank our crew, Evan DePasquale, our network producer. Thank you, Evan. Kyle Powell, our social media. You can check out his game story at WGR550.com. Tom Maddy is our engineer. Paul Hamilton, our reporter down in Sunrise. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. Florida shuts out Buffalo 4-0. Enjoy your Sunday, and I'll see you and talk to you on Monday night from KeyBank Center with the Sabres and the Oilers right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.